All right, guys, welcome back. Sports, Cards, Nonsense. A new podcast this week. Pretty excited. We have the boss. I don't know if we're going to call him Bill or Mr. Simmons. I'm thinking about just going Springsteen and calling him the boss. I'm not sure yet, though.
How about Bill? Bill sounds great.
Hey, the boss just said just Bill. There you go. So, Bill Simmons joined us this week. Of course, Jesse Gibson, who is as anticipated a guest, I think, as Bill is.
This is the most uncomfortable I've ever been in any moment in my life. But you know what? I'm excited to be here. I can't wait. I love sports. You know that.
There's going to be a more uncomfortable moment when Giannis joins the show. I think that'll be probably more uncomfortable for you as you repeatedly mispronounce his name.
I referred to you as Ben Simmons and also as
Bill Russell.
No, Bill Russell.
And then your wife called him Richard Simmons.
And
first time we got signed. Yeah, so, it was perfect.
Richard Simmons signed us. We're doing great.
Bill's similar to Richard in a lot of ways.
Sweating with the oldies, baby.
So
yeah,
perfect.
This episode is brought to you by Maybelline New York. Get ready to bring the heat with Maybelline's newest lip plumping gloss, Lifter Plump. Fair warning though, it's hot. Like, literally. It's formulated with chili peppers to bring a heated sensation and an instant plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Hot Honey, and more. Buy Lifter Plump now on Amazon and use the code 10PLUMP to get 10% off for a limited time. Tap the banner to learn more.
Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new favorites by previewing short audio clips before committing to a full listen. You can even watch some podcasts with video or just keep playing audio in the background. It's everything you want in one app. Music, podcasts, and audiobooks across any device. Play anytime, anywhere, any way you'd like with Spotify. Try today.
All right. I think that's a great intro. Big picture topic, Jesse. Take it away.
Big picture, you got to talk Tiger. What's going on? How has it affected his card value? Let's hear about it.
Yeah. So I know, Bill, you talked about this on your podcast this week. Thoughts on Tiger. What's your overall thoughts of the situation here with the big man?
Well, the scary thing with social media is just how people jump to these conclusions without any evidence whatsoever. But I thought his golf career was headed toward being over anyway, just because all the back surgeries and different surgeries he had. Now it feels a little bit insurmountable. So it's sad, but I'm glad he lived. And after reconciling all this stuff with it, honestly went to the cards in my head a little bit and was thinking about your theory about how tragedy blows up cards. Was not surprised to see what happened yesterday with the Tiger rookie. It's unbelievable.
Crazy spike and then an immediate sell-off. It was a weird situation. Actually, so Jesse, you want to throw some of those numbers? We have our intern, Max. By the way, I call him Indy, but for this case, we'll call him Max. Max said, please tell Bill, huge fan of his podcast. Oh, he's never said that about our podcast.
And since we're not paying him, we figured that would be payment.
I appreciate it.
There you go.
One, there was a crazy spike. So Max did a little research on a few of them. The 2001 Upper Deck, which is kind of his flagship rookie. You know, it's a regular card, PSA 10. Jesse, what do you have on that one?
So PSA 10 before the crash, going for about 805, 850 maybe. After the crash, $2,000. Like within hours.
Within hours. But then I don't even think it was the next day. That night, they were back below $500 again.
Yeah.
Or no, really?
Back below 900.
It was like an 8 to 10 hour spike, I think, because of what you said. People were like, oh, this dude's dead, or they're cutting off his leg. I mean, there's a bunch of crazy stuff with no substantiation at first. People just went crazy. A guy in our Facebook group said, dude, all my stuff just got bought. Buy it now. Not even offers. Just people bought everything he had. And so I think people now are just sitting back waiting for the returns and all the nonsense with it. But
well, the other thing that happened was they had already spiked because this crazy sports spike that we've had the last 3-4 months, one of the things that started spiking was the non-basketball football and the golf.
Yep.
Which I got excited because I have a set. I remember I bought this for $20 like 35 years ago. The early 80s Donruss set with all the golfers. It's got like the Tom Watson rookie. So I just had it in a little plastic case and I was like, someday golf cards, but never really happened. But now it seems like golf cards, like everything else, has become a thing.
Yeah, well, Tiger's kind of a freak in that regard too. Like, I mean, I'm 35, Jesse's 34. And even Jesse not being a sports fan by any means, which again, we say this, he does not care about sports people. Nope, Jesse, you know Tiger though. I mean, you're very familiar with the name.
Yeah, of course I do. I talked about Tiger a couple weeks ago and said I thought he was a decent buy at his price.
Yeah,
granted, to me, his Tiger, pop is still crazy.
Yeah, the population report on that card alone is 9,200 for PSA 10s. So, but long term, I still think at the current price, if you can get that under $400, which most of them 450 or less, I don't think it's a bad buy.
To clarify, though, Mike, the ones under 400 are the PSA 9s. The PSA 10s are back to 900s.
That's right. They went from $2,000 to 900. The PSA 9s are back around 450. Thank
to be fair, Jesse did think the Tiger King documentary series spiked the Tiger cards for a second before.
When people said there was a Tiger documentary, that's what I watched. So.
He also bought a leotard Tiger stripe.
But this speaks to a bigger theme that you've covered in a couple of your pods already. With all the money pouring into this hobby right now, and we could talk about all different reasons for it. It's hedge funds. It's people in giant groups. They're just targeting bigger cards. It's people going to auctions who are just treating this like art and like there's not a market. They're just like, I want an MJ 86 flare PSA 10. I don't care what the price is. I'm just getting it. Yep. And people are gravitating toward the biggest stars. And you were on this before the Super Bowl with Brady. And you were saying, if Brady wins, here's what's going to happen. You called it out. You're right. We saw it with Jordan after the Last Dance. We're seeing it with Bird and Magic now. And I think the biggest stars, I think those are the best bets right now because of what's happening with the fractional stuff.
Which I love.
The billionaires all getting together, just buying different cards. They're always going to go toward the best 10 or 11 guys. So I would argue the Tiger cards are still low.
Yeah, here's my thing with Tiger too. If you were asking me, I was trying to think of this like the last couple of days, like just prepping for this. Biggest athlete impacts of my lifetime. Honestly, so to me, 34 years old, Tiger has meant more to me than Jordan. Jordan was at the end of the career. And in golf, it was just like we didn't know as a 10-year-old, I didn't know, and even younger for his early championships, I didn't know how good Jordan was. I just knew he was like the best guy in the league. That's great. But at the time, at my age, I didn't know he's the all-time greatest player of all. You know, you just didn't know that. But for Tiger, and I grew up, my grandfather was a golf pro at the Merrimack Valley Country Club. My father was a scratch golfer his whole life.
Every
Saturday, I grew up, that's what we did. We played the par three course. We hit the driving range. Golf was like a huge thing for me growing up. And all of a sudden, there was something I could watch and not be miserable. It wasn't just a bunch of old dudes and like weird plaid. There was like this 18-year-old kid or even, I think, I don't remember how old he was in 97 when he smashed the field by 12 strokes.
It's like 21. Yeah.
That was huge for me though. I was like watching and actually rooting for a guy. I was like, this young dude is coming in and just destroying old men at the sport where you're not supposed to be doing that as a young guy.
Well, and before Tiger, I mean, for our generation, at least like, you know, there was no one talking about golf. There weren't guys like at school talking about like the golfer, like, I don't know. Well, I can't really think of any other. Arnold Palmer. No one was caring about Arnold Palmer unless I wanted to eliminate a little iced tea. You know,
well, this. When I was growing up, it was the Nicholas Watson generation. Really, Nicholas. Nicholas was the guy. It was, and the previous generation was Arnold Palmer.
Yep.
And then there was kind of a gap between Nicholas and Tiger for about 10 years where there was just a bunch of different guys that went. It should have been Greg Norman, but he kept choking when it mattered.
That was my guy, the great white shark. He could never finish. Oh.
And if you do his career 20 times, there's 10 versions of it where he's the best golfer of all time.
He's like Jim Kelly.
For me, it's Ali Jordan and Tiger are the three. And I don't even think Brady's gotten to that level. I think those are the three that completely changed how people considered their sport, brought all the casual fans in, and everyone has compared whoever came next to those three guys.
I could see it. So for me, again, the younger generation, I would go like Jordan to me. Kobe was my Jordan. Like growing up, that was the guy. There was also the Boston LA connection, but Kobe was the guy there.
Tiger, so you like guys who've only won one MVP ever? Those are your icons?
I love Kobe.
I mean, Bird went three straight. I don't know if you have his autographed jersey or anything, but Bird went three straight. Kobe only won one ever. So settle down with the Kobe love. Kobe was great.
He was, impactful for guys growing up. He was the dude. He was the guy. Man, Bill, you cannot say a nice word about the Lakers. I could see him getting riled.
Listen, I thought you were from Massachusetts. I was mistaken.
I have respect. I have respect for the man. Kobe was my guy, and then LeBron carried that man. Start, Corey, jump on here and start this over.
Jesse's my favorite co-host on this show.
He's the only co-host on this. I just got denigrated to co-host. This is ridiculous. I'm telling you, 5 minutes in, God. I feel like I've lost my job. YouTube is loving this.
So what happens to Tiger? Where does this go? Do you see this spiking more? Is there a value card that's not that upper deck card that everybody gravitates to? Is there like a great card to get that you feel like is undervalued?
I still love the 90s. I think it's his 97, that black, might be 90. I'm not super familiar with golf. The black border oversized card. Mm. That rookie of his, I think, is great at any price. Because I think looking back, And again, piece of art. People have stayed away from it naturally in the hobby. I say stayed away. It's never gained the popularity because it's like the Kareem rookie. It's oversized. Oversized cards have just always been hated on by purists, which is fine.
I'm like the opposite. The 76 NBA top set is my single favorite set of all time.
Really? And you like the sheets,
I think it's an unassailable set. The uncut sheet, but also just the straight. If you go through those cards, they're almost like mini posters, like the Kareem card, the Dr. J card, the Bill Walton card. Like when I was growing up, those were my favorite cards I'd ever seen in my life. I guess they must be more expensive to make, but I feel like if Panini did that one time where they made oversized NBA, I honestly think people would go nuts.
I think they would now. I think again, because now you have so many guys who just come in and want to find something, you know, that they like, and they don't care that traditionally this card is oversized. But I love that card. And even the upper deck, the only thing that holds me back from this upper deck long-term is 9,200 is a high count. I mean, I don't love it long-term for $1,000. But I'm not sure that he ever plays again, too. I mean,
to be clear for listeners, that card we're talking about is the 97 Tiger Woods Grand Slam Masters Collection.
Yep.
And it's the population on PSA 9s, it looks to be about 351. So,
what's the PSA 10 count on that one? Do you have it?
I don't have it up, but I'll get it.
Yeah, that's the card to me I would go with. I don't need the regular. And golf to me is a different sport. You know, obviously, it's a different sport, it's a different collector to me. Like, if I want the golf card, that's the one I would go after.
Can I give you a sneaky collection thing with Tiger that I might have a couple things on? I'm not doing the pump and dump. I already own these things. And I've already bought these things well before this. I'm excited. Masters badges, I've always felt, have been underrated. And you can find them on eBay. And I may or may not own a 97 Masters, Tiger's first thing, 86 Jack, a couple of the iconic ones. But I feel like those badges, because nobody saved them until the last 20 years. And to me, they're like cooler ticket stubs because it says the year of the event.
Sure.
It's tied to that. And I think the 97 Masters badge for Tiger should be worth more.
How about that?
You weren't expecting me to come out firing this early.
I was literally waiting for
you. You're supposed to know less about cards.
He just pushes the microphone over. He's like, "All right, boys, thanks for coming. Enjoy your last week working on my network." I don't think you go wrong with Tiger stuff in general. I mean, he's the guy. The only thing I actually found the most laughable, though, about the whole story, just getting to the story side of it, was I think it was Rory McIlroy and a couple of guys, you know, they were asked about is he coming back? It was like, how could we even talk about that? I'll be honest with you, I don't know Tiger Woods. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen to the guy. I hope he recovers. But the first thought in my head is, is he ever going to play again? Like, this naturally, isn't that your thought? Why is that wrong? I'm not saying I want the guy's leg to come off, but the only thing that affects me about Tiger is watching him on TV. That's it. Like, he's not taking my calls. We've tried to reach out.
He was moving into a different phase of his life anyway. So I feel like,
like you said, he was kind of on the downhill anyway.
Yeah, he had had, I think, 5 back surgeries. He had had his knee completely rebuilt. I think this is something that's in a problem with golf in general, is these guys have so much power. It puts so much pressure on their knees and their back that it's not sustainable. And, somebody like LeBron, for whatever reason, is going to play 23, 24 years.
Crazy.
We haven't seen the golf version of that, of a guy who is just like in crazy shape and, you know, almost keeps peaking as they get older with all the science and stuff. Maybe it's coming. Maybe it'll be Dustin Johnson. I don't know.
Yeah, it is weird though. He's the only guy with power. Like the first guy I think we saw like that had that sustainable power for a decade. Then it was like, now what? Like he's not going to age like Arnold where he's just going to play. I feel like when he's done, he's done. I don't feel like we're going to see Tiger on the senior tour, like putting around out there. I hope we don't. Like when you're done, just leave on top.
Well, he might have the same thing LeBron has where he might try to hang on to play with his son because it's clear his son's going to be something. And people have said that about LeBron for 8-9 years.
Is that next year or is it 2 years from now?
2 years from now. We'll see. Like his son, it's hard to say because basically all the youth sports lost like 12 months here where there's like no high school basketball, not a lot of AAU stuff. So nobody even knows how good he is, but something to watch.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Well, there you go. So buy Tiger stuff. I mean, like I said, I don't think you're going to lose money on it. I would not buy it this week. I'd like to see where the market settles. But yeah, he's an icon, no question. Jesse, I know you're terrified about this moment. We're ready for you to run this next moment. And I got a text about Bill this week that said, what is up with Top Shot? Jesse is here to tell everybody in detail. We grade him at the end of every episode. Bill's already said you're great. His grade supersedes mine. Mine will be significantly lower. But I think you're doing wonderful.
I got to just jump out here. First question, Bill, do you know much about, if anything, about Top Shot?
I know everything about everything, Jesse, first of all.
I should have known that.
I put in my research left and right. I will say this about Top Shot. It just eludes me.
Yeah.
I understand it. I understand what's happening. I get it. It's. I'm not being snobby about it. I just personally don't get it. Like, I it's not something I would be like, oh, cool, I bought this incredible Donovan Mitchell three-point clip, and it's mine.
Yeah.
It's coded specifically for me. I just don't get it. It's not for me. I like holding the cards. I like uncut sheets. I like holding boxes. Just holding like a digital clip. I don't get it.
Well, okay. So I thought the exact same thing. Mark Cuban, who you're friends with, said something interesting the other day. He said that when it comes to Top Shot, that's the main complaint is like, why would I pay for this when I could go to YouTube and search it and download that same thing, watch it all the time. I think the main thing, and this is what he said, is the authenticity that comes when you buy this moment. Because he can, like, for a baseball card, you could go out and print out the picture of that card and put it on your mantle if you wanted to and have a similar effect. Until you got close, you wouldn't even know the difference. But in this situation, it's people are assigning value because it's a collectible, it's authentic, and it's nostalgic for them. And so that's what seems to be driving this market. Now that, and I will say the other big thing driving this market, I think, is greed at this very moment.
Sure.
Because the amount of pop and the number of sales over the last week alone is staggering. Just to give
wasn't
you an
idea.
Wasn't
it like 47 million in a weekend or something?
Oh, mm-hmm. That's what it was. Now we're looking at it may have been on the weekend over the last week. And to put this in perspective, they've done 205 million in sales over the last 6 months since they started. In the last week alone, they did 130 million of that.
Well, part of that is because there's been big mainstream pieces in a couple different outlets. ESPN had one, Bleacher Report had one. There's an awareness. The last 10 days it became a story. Mm-hmm. And then you also have, honestly, rich people coming in and talking about how it's going to be a big thing. And we've seen this fall, the leader mentality with cards, with a whole bunch of things, which, you know, I think Mike feels the same way. I get a little suspicious sometimes with the intentions of people when they're trying to just be like, this is the next thing. This is going to be great. We're seeing it with Clubhouse, the social media app right now. It's like, this is it. This is going to be great. And it's like, well, okay, but you also are invested in this being great. So should I trust you?
Yeah.
So just absolutely. With the Clubhouse thing, let me just say this. Bill actually invited me to Clubhouse. I tried. Bill, I just kept finding myself in these rooms with people like telling me about their accomplishments. And I was just like, I don't know who any of these people are. That's a weird space. I need to learn.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And I've never actually gone in a room. It was one of those things I just wanted to grab my name, but I don't really get it. But I do think like we're seeing this with cards and we're really seeing this with Top Shot, with people telling us it's a big thing versus the thing happening organically.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little both right now, but I have friends in my life who really love it. And I've just been holding, crossing my fingers, praying my son doesn't care. Right now, he doesn't care. I just want to keep it that way. Please don't let him get hooked on Top Shot.
Not allowed to listen to the show.
So what's really interesting, too, is like you got a spike in this last week. And I think a lot of it came when they started talking about like limiting the editions of these series. Because you had a big thing where a series would either be limited edition or they could continue to sell moments essentially in perpetuity until they decided they didn't want to anymore, which, you know, the more moments out there, just like anything, the less the value is going to be. They
Mike's
started,
dubious. I've never seen him more dubious on this podcast than right now.
Is
he's
that
just out.
Word?
You're just out on Top Shots.
I'm out. Here, the only reason I'm getting in is because I talked to Verno yesterday. He that dude is so... Actually, like he's just informed about it. So he's convinced me to buy in strictly for financial reasons, but that's it.
So it's almost like with blockchain where people are like, gotta get in. You're gonna feel dumb.
Same thing.
Gotta get
same
in
with
now.
Crypto. I only bought into crypto because it was like, hey, I'm gonna make money. And Jesse, well, we're gonna keep this clean. Never mind. Jesse ruined me. Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't like it. I don't want, if it makes me money, that's fine, but I have zero interest in it. I don't
know. What would be your dream Top Shot quip if you could get any Top Shot quip? For me, it would be the bird steal. If I could own the one clip of Bird, the Isaiah Steel 87 Eastern Finals, I think I would get that one.
One clip. Oh, brother.
Air Jordan, baby. Just give me any of the Air Jordans.
Name one of the basketball players.
Eric Jordan. Dennis Rodman and Pippen, Luke Longley. I don't know. I know all the Bulls starting lineups.
I've always been a fan of Bird. I don't even know who was against when he does the over the head fake pass. Dude totally just turned. He did it a bunch of times, but I think it was against Philly one time. He did that and dude just, I mean, looked around, had no idea where the ball was. And Larry just kind of gives him the nod. Like, you just got head. And then just hits the 18-footer.
Jesse, do they have the historical clips or no?
No. No, so just that's modern. What
so they would have
right
to
now.
Clear that with the old players. I'm sure right. Jordan's like, yeah, we can do that, but give me 80%.
Yeah, so like the company behind Top Shot is a company called Dapper. They're the ones that are into the whole NFT, the non-fungible tokens, and they're trying to get licensing worked out for historical clips. It is very interesting, though, that the CEO of Dapper says the people that are going to make money are not the guys who are into crypto. It's the guys who are actually into basketball and know what's valuable, because there's still plenty of cards out there. I was reading them off to Mike yesterday. And
He was trying to read a list of names of active NBA players.
But to be fair, you didn't know these players.
It's like a four-year-old trying to read another language.
You didn't know the players either, okay? I could have been right for all you know.
This segment is non-fungible. Can we go to the next?
Bottom line is there's a lot of money out there for
you. Jesse, you did great.
No, I don't guess that. That's good. Bill comes on and all of a sudden my part gets cut? No. Bill, I'm sorry. All right, continue.
Richard Simmons, move over.
All right. NBA. Nope.
Billy's, we didn't clear Mikey's. The next segment name with Bill. It's always Mikey's takes. This way, this week we went with Mikey and Billy's take. I'm not sure about the Billy name. What's the subject this week, though?
Mikey and Bill's take. QB's Billy. On the move. Let's hear about it. I'm going to just go ahead and bow out.
Show
for
your
moment.
Video. Oh, yeah. So I am curious. Guys. I listened to your podcast. I think it came out Tuesday. Deshaun Watson. You have any strong inclination of where he goes? Or are you still up in the air?
I think he gets traded, and I think it's going to be Carolina or Miami. But
okay,
we're taping this on a Thursday morning.
Yep.
Big news today. The Russell Wilson officially it's like the main thing on Twitter today that he officially kind of wants out.
Yeah.
Isn't saying get me out of here, but he's kind of saying get me out of here. And there's been rumors the last couple of weeks about that his wife wants to go to a bigger city. You know, he's married to a famous person. Yep. That he's frustrated with the Seattle offense, stuff like that. And I mean, this is a question for you, Mike. If he goes to the Giants, what happens to his card?
Man, so Wilson stuff like week 6 through 12, when he was on that tear and it was like he's the MVP, his stuff went insane. So I'm not sure. Honestly, I honestly think the only thing for Wilson that increases his value, I don't think he's going to blow up and dump by any means. I think the only thing, he's at that stage of his career, postseason success. Because he's starting to fall into the Wilson, Peyton Manning, Rodgers, Breeze. Like, you did it once, and then you haven't done it. And I know their defenses weren't great, and there's all these reasons why they haven't done it again. But you got to do it again at some point.
So you think if he went to the Giants or the Jets and was in a giant city, doesn't do much?
I mean, I think it's probably a small bump. I mean, like, we're seeing that Deshaun stuff has had a small bump over the last 2 weeks because of the rumors he's going to get moved. So do I think some of it? Yeah, I mean, guys get excited like, oh, I need to get one now because something's going to happen. But if he goes to the Giants and wins 9 games and loses the wild card weekend, I think his cards are lower then than they are right now. I just, quarterbacks especially, you got to win. Like, you just have to.
I'm pro Deshaun cards because all the smart football people in my life all say that he was like absolutely incredible.
They say this was like one of the best seasons of all time.
Yeah.
And I don't, so here's the thing. You actually named the two that I have on my list today. If he goes to the Panthers, just from a perception standpoint, again, I don't care about on the field stuff. Just from the hobby perspective, stuff's going to blow up. Because all we're going to hear about for the next 4 months is, well, Deshaun and CMC are going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I mean, I think they have a decent team. I mean, you know.
It's a fun division for him. It's always like a big offense division. So and Miami would be the other team, right? That you just think they'd be set up as a contender.
Got to be, right? I mean, didn't they win 11 games? They either won 10 or 11 this year with quarterback.
With shaky quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't need to hear any more about Fitzmagic either. My God. Ugh.
The third team, now they would have to give up a lot to get him, but I just think would be interesting from an interest standpoint is if he somehow went to the Bears because they've needed a quarterback for 130 years.
What do you give up, like five first rounders?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's in the same situation he's in now with a team that wouldn't really have a future. That's why the Miami thing's so interesting because they basically tanked the last couple of years to be in this situation of this year. Jesse, they have this guy, Tua, that they took last year.
Jesse knows Tua.
Yeah,
oh, top
five
QB.
Top five pick. They have the number 3 and number 17 picks in the first round this year, so they could immediately just give that to Houston and get Deshaun back and still have a good team. And that's, so for me, Miami or Carolina gives them the best chance to compete. I think there's going to be a big bump just from people betting on the upside of it versus what might actually happen, because that's how cards work these days, right? It's all, yeah. And it's all whatever the upside is. The Tyler Hero theory. Oh, yeah. Tyler Hero, 35 points in a playoff game. His card's $900.
God. And it has to be upside. Anywhere he goes is better than Houston. I mean, that team is pathetic. Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, from the top to the bottom. The only other team, and I don't think there's any chance because cap, they don't have a ton of, is Denver. I would love to see a legit quarterback go to Denver because that team is loaded offensively.
Yeah, and they've had some bad luck the last couple of years too with injuries. And
yeah, everybody's been injured. Yeah. But if they ever put it together and got a quarterback, that's a weird team. So I like the Deshaun play, depending on where he goes. Carson Wentz, we didn't talk about this last week because we're ignorant. Wentz going to Indy? I'm just curious. What are your thoughts? You're more of a football mind than I am. I mean, do you think he has anything left? What's the deal with Carson?
I think it's a feast or famine thing. And probably a stay away from a card standpoint, because didn't the cards kind of bump up anticipating that he's going to be really good? He was awesome that Super Bowl year before he got hurt, but that team was awesome and he was on a rookie contract. They were able to stack it with salary, stuff like that. He was good in 2019, but in 18 and 2020, last year, I thought the worst quarterback in the league.
Horrible.
So I don't know. I think it's a stay away.
Because Indy has a good team. I mean, that team can play. They've got young skill position players. They have a pretty good defense. Like, if they upgraded a quarterback, that's a 12-win team next year that is, to me, making noise in the AFC. I mean, everything runs through Mahomes, I think. But, yeah,
The thing with cards, if you're taking a flyer on somebody, it can't be a flyer on somebody who's actually got buzz on his cards.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Carson's probably not bad. Because if they come out and win, six out of the first seven, I would think from now, his value spikes pretty good because so many guys are down on him.
I have a QB card sleeper for you.
Oh,
I mean, this is like a deep sleeper. This is like almost you're shaking them because he might be in a coma. What about Gardner Minshew? Because they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. Gardner Minshew, who I think is actually somebody's going to trade for him and could see him as the Pats QB next year. I thought he had some moments. That team was terrible. Could you argue he could be, like, to me, I'd rather spend on a Gardner Minshew rookie for nothing. I'm just basically taking a flyer. If it doesn't happen, screw it. Versus I'm actually paying for the potential of Wentz. And I don't even know if he's going to be good. You know, Minshew might be the quarterback of like the Pats or the Niners next year. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, he's interesting. I mean, he has some flashes. I'll say this. There was a couple games last year in the fourth quarter specifically, because they were in, I feel like Jacksonville's that team. You always have the same stat every year. 7 of their 10 losses come from, within 3 points.
And then he got hurt. He was hurt the second half of the year.
Yep. And he got hurt, but he's always, to me, at least competitive in the fourth. Like, I like how he comes out. He's kind of got that moxie. I just don't know if he has any, like, enough talent.
But a tiny sleeper.
If you're looking for a cheap, I mean, you set that up pretty well. Like, sleeper, shake him to see he's awake. Yeah, I mean, for no money, because honestly, at this point, his hobby value is nothing. It spiked after week 1 and 2 because he played pretty well and put up some decent numbers. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a matter of, do they trade him? And if you're Jacksonville, why? I guess that would be my question. Why would you move him? He's on a rookie contract. He's not making any money.
Right. You have a cheap backup.
They have a six-round
pick from last year that could also be their backup. I actually think he has weird trade value just because
if
you're trading for him, he's making $1.5 million a year or something versus what the Colts did for Wentz.
I mean, as a cheap flyer, I like him, sure.
With the Panini Prism guys last year, which I think is one of the great football sets in a long time. To me, CD Lamb is the guy that might be the second-year sleeper, just because you think about what happened with their quarterback situation, where the second half, he was coming on, and then Dak got hurt.
And that was
it. And then they basically had the headless horseman as their quarterback. So could he make the jump? Is he as good as Justin Jefferson? We don't know. Justin Jefferson had somebody throwing it to him.
Yeah, so CD and Jerry Jeudy. Those are my two guys from last year. I like both of them because I think they're both in good offenses and had nobody throwing them the ball. So when that changes, do they put up 1,400 this year and go crazy? And we're another year away from the whole it's only about quarterbacks theory, because last year, Jefferson, not that they're matching quarterbacks, but we saw DK Metcalf jump up for a time where he was selling crazy high. We saw Justin Jefferson sold really well. Claypool for Pittsburgh sold really well. So we're starting to see other positions start to spike. So a year later, I mean, if those guys come out and have big seasons, yeah, I think it's interesting and it's a possibility.
Jesse, yeah. I like Chase Young too on the Washington professional football team. I think he has a chance to be a generational defensive guy. And I think defensive cards in general,
no love,
are really underpriced. People gravitate to quarterbacks and then receivers and then running backs. And that guy might be the best defensive lineman, you know, for the next 10 years. And that's got to be worth something.
Jesse, your take?
Bill, I really appreciate you pulling me back in.
Thank you. I can see you drifting.
No, what's going to happen is Corey's going to cut my feed as soon as we start the Boston boys talk. And then I'm back when we're done.
I think this Prism set is going to actually be bigger than the last one because of the Trevor Lawrence thing. As big as Burrow was and 21. As excited as we were about Herbert, all this stuff.
Yep.
The Lawrence thing is going to take it to basically, period. I'm trying to think of a basketball. I guess it would be like a Zion thing, right? Like how people were paying for the ceiling for Zion before he'd even played a game. I do feel like that's going to happen with Lawrence.
Absolutely. Trevor Lawrence will be the hottest prospect hobby-wise of all time in football. Not even close.
All time? But really? Okay.
Because again, think of the guys who were hot. Like John Elway came out with maybe the best college rating of all time, but there wasn't a market then for cards. Andrew Luck came out super hot. You know, everybody knew he was going to be great. 2012, the market was totally different. You have one of the best college prospects ever to come out at the absolute peak of the mountain in terms of hobby. He's number one. I mean, and Burrow's stuff was crazy. I don't think it's going to be even close. I think we're going to see at least if Prism at one point was selling for 10 grand when it came out, which I don't remember exactly what it was, for 2020, I think next year is 30% above that across the board. I think 2020 is going to be impossible. 2021, excuse me. I think Lawrence is that good.
Can I give you Prism, Silver Prism theory to you guys? Because, and this goes into what you were talking about with the PWCC guys last week about just how many PSA things are going to be graded and how there's basically 15 times as much inventory now. And there's just going to be more PSA cards in the market over the next 10 years. There's also going to be more people buying it. Mm-hmm. But I think just the regular Prism rookies in NBA and NFL, there's just going to be more of them out there. You know, you talked earlier about the Tiger, how there was 9,200 Upper Deck, whatever.
Yeah, Zion's is way higher than that with Prism.
Yeah, and I think what's eventually going to happen, this is just a theory, is that the silvers are going to become kind of the card. Even though they are already, I get it, they're more highly valued, but I just think those are harder to find. There's just going to be less PSA population than there is for these other ones where it's just much easier to get them and get them graded. And so I've been thinking about just the stuff I've collected, which by the way, all the stuff I've collected is out of my house. Don't break into my house. It's all gone. Once the hobby took off the last 3 months, I got it out of my house. But I've just been thinking like the silvers might be the way to go going forward because there might just be too many normal prisms. What do you think of that theory, Mike?
So I don't hate the theory. By the way, Jesse, pull up Zion 2019 Prism Silver PSA 10 pop count real quick. I like silver better than base because of the exclusivity. I think we're going to start to see the multiplier from base to silver makes no sense because the populations, although they're different, they're not as different as some of the colored Prism stuff. I think that's where we're going to see 3 to 5 years from now, a blue Luka is just insane. It's already expensive. I think that's where we're going to see those cards, though, just continue because they're never going up. If the card's serial number to 35 or to 88, like some of the retail pops, those are never going to move. I think that's where we see the biggest jump. I think base, again, 3 to 5 years from now, base has come way down. And I actually think silver's long-term come down because people start to look and say there's so many. So there's always going to be a huge disparity base to silver. But I think silver's overall, I think silver almost matches the decline of base. I really think
interesting.
It's
okay.
The color stuff that goes crazy.
I was thinking like in the mid 90s with the Topps Chrome with the refractors, and you've seen the refractors went bonkers.
Sure.
But I think those are way more exclusive than the silvers. But you might be right. Maybe the colored silver prisms are the equivalent of the refractors.
Yeah. And you know what's weird too? I have so much trouble putting money into the 90s stuff now too, the chrome especially, because of that greening. I hate that. Like if you're not familiar with those cards, not I know you are, Bill, but
the coatings.
So just the color itself, you start to get that green tint to them. That old chrome, for some reason, whether it's slabbed or not, just starts to hulk up. I hate that about a card. But the refractors from the 90s have gone nuts. I was sending you pictures this week of those Allen Iversons. I mean, that stuff is snapping off on Facebook.
When are we pouring out some liquor for the 90s basketball?
Next time you come
on the
show.
Is that a next segment? Okay.
That's a next show, the whole thing.
No, it's just over. The last 6 weeks. I mean, if you had the 90s stuff, great. You're celebrating because it five-tupled. Yep. But if you wanted to get in, if you had some sort of list, it's over. You're not getting... The 96 Iverson was $1,600 over the holidays, and now it's $14,000.
Stupid.
But Jesse, do the math. What is $1,600 to $14,000? 8-tuple? 9-tuple?
Why are you doing this to me, Bill?
I don't know. I thought...
Why?
I thought
just trying you to get why you would you do this?
Just trying to make sure you
were a math guy.
He's doing great.
I told you I wasn't in this segment. We talked about this. All right.
Shaq, Weber, Nash, Duncan.
So
the
I'll
Duncan you
this.
Get for $1,100, now it's what, $5,000?
Not to mention those Duncans I bought first show. I was like, I just bought three chrome gems for $1,400 a piece.
Right.
$4,200. Not bad.
So the ship has sailed on the 90s.
It has. Except for, there's a few. I think the Hall of Fame guys coming up are all going to see an additional bump. Pierce. Hmm. I don't even remember who's going in this year, which is great because people, I just didn't pay attention.
Well, you know Garnett, what? Because you Duncan, told me though. That and I was doing the research on it because I think Doug Collins might get in. So I'm like, I'm going to grab his 74 tops. That said, it's just there's no inventory at all. I was looking for 2 months. I have not seen one Doug Collins
the 70s
rookie
in general,
grade in anything. Yeah.
70s in general are forgotten. I just bought a couple Wilt 72, 3, and 4s, like PSA 6s, 7s. Nothing. I mean, one of the top five guys of all time for most people, and his stuff is just dirt cheap. Steve Nash is the exception. I think the Nets are going to go on a run this year and get weird, and him being relevant, I think, helps. But in general, hey, let me hit real quick two other quarterbacks. So Wilson, you think he's moving or not?
I think the cap hit is too big for them to move. The only way they could trade him, it's a $39 million cap hit, which I know Jesse was crunching the numbers earlier.
Yep.
The only way it makes sense is if they got a rookie quarterback back, which I was on a bunch of texts today with some Seahawks friends about, would you trade Wilson for Herbert? Straight up.
No. Not if I'm the Chargers. I'm not trading. I like Wilson. Herbert's making nothing, and he's locked up for the next 3 years.
That's what I would say too, except they're the black sheep LA football team. Nobody cares about them. They have no identity whatsoever. And you could talk yourself into a panic. Oh, now we have Russell Wilson. We have the face of our franchise. That's the only way it makes sense.
What do you feel about that?
I would keep Herbert.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm so high on Justin Herbert too. I just don't, for the money and what he's going to do over the next few years, I don't.
How about this? Would you trade Russell Wilson for Jared Stidham and a fourth?
I'd think about it. I'd give it some serious consideration. I'd trade Bill Belichick there too. Just pack his deal, get him out of town. Aaron Rodgers, any chance? I don't think there's any chance he's moving. I think that was such a farce. All that talk.
They're going to panic and pay him.
Yeah.
I think would be how it plays out.
And last question on this segment, and most important, Bucks or Brady? Where was your loyalty this year?
To my wallet. I just bet on the Bucks. That's how I reconciled with it. I bet on them every round in the playoffs. It was great. It was like Brady was my QB again. I loved it.
Oh, man. So I'll be honest. I left my ship left town in New England when he left. Like, I grew up watching the guy 20 years. Like, that's all I knew about them. I remember Bledsoe before that. I liked watching Bledsoe in coats, but they were never, you know, even the year they went to the Super Bowl. So they were just never got into the team. So I was all Bucks. All Bucks all year. Watch the whole thing.
It was great. Well, probably the best moment you had on this show was when you were imploring people to buy Gronk and Brady. Oh, and then Gronk lights it up in the Super Bowl.
Killed it.
Friday before the Super Bowl, buy of the weekend, Gronkowski. And not to mention, my wallet was... Brady is the only thing long-term I've held. Like, everything else that is kind of ebbs and flows. I always sell high. All my Brady stuff I held like a maniac for years. I sold some early, but almost everything else rookie is just in a lockbox now and just went crazy. So there
Where's
you go.
Lockbox?
Yep. Don't break into my house was the point of that, or Bill's.
When are we doing straight cash homie? I'm so excited to see Jesse yell that.
Can we just skip to
you want to
cash
skip
homie?
To it? We were going to talk NBA streaks, but I'll go right to
NBA streaks. NBA streaks. Come on,
Jesse,
we can go
ahead.
All right,
this
I'm still
your
off
moment.
Camera, Corey.
Jesse,
leave me
your
off
moment
camera.
To shine. Introduce the next subject. Go ahead, Jess.
NBA streaks. We got Jazz, Wizards, Celtics. Why are we talking about Celtics? All right, go.
Okay. Yeah. So the Jazz 26-6. 11 of 12. They just smashed the Lakers last night. So they've beaten the Lakers, Bucks, Celtics, Heat. I think they beat Philly. That's a weird team. I do like the Jazz. And I still am on board. He was our straight cash homie last week. Donovan Mitchell, anything. Just go buy. Because he is still so underpriced compared to what he's going to be. I think they're creepy.
Well, there's an interesting Donovan Mitchell subplot, which I have not seen mentioned anywhere yet. I'm going to... I'm Zach Lowe on my podcast today, and I'm going to ask him about it. I'm not breaking news. LeBron the MVP bandwagon for LeBron once Davis got hurt has now hit some bumps. And I would say it's actually pulled over on the side of the road right now.
Yep.
And I think it's become less realistic. So Embiid is probably the favorite. But as we know, Embiid, can he play the whole season? Can he stay healthy? Who knows? So there's a next level of guys that have a chance to jump up and grab, you know, a possibility to win the MVP. And it's like Jokic and Luka, all the usual suspects. But there's also a scenario where Utah goes like 63-9 or something like that. And then at some point, if there's no MVP candidate, everybody's got to look around and be like, maybe it's a Utah guy. And it'll be Mitchell if it's that guy. So I would say the case you made last week, if he creeps into the MVP conversation, then I think it blows up even more. So I think you were dead on last week. And I would also, I think Conley, who's had a really good career, and if they made the finals or something, would have to be, you know, when you think of some of the guys who've made the Hall of Fame, like, it's not unrealistic that he could sneak in at some point. Mitch Richmond made it. And Gobert, I think, would be the other one, just because, you know, he'll be the defensive player of the year again if they win. And he's in the, I think, the 2013 set, and it's probably goes for nothing.
Oh, yeah, because he's a defensive-minded guy.
Yeah.
I do. So I think best case for them, I don't think they're coming out of the West. I still can't see them beating. I actually can't see him beating Denver or LA in a series. I could be wrong about Denver, but I think Denver's just
I think you're wrong about Denver, unless there's a trade. Denver's a trade candidate.
Really?
I would still have the Lakers as the favorite, just because I think they're throwing everyone off their scent now with Davis. But I don't want to buy Utah, but every week they take care of business and they just throttle teams. And at some point, you got to take it seriously. And I'm like 75% there.
Well, playing to your point too, I'll say this, because like when there's not the clear-cut MVP, the question then is, okay, best player on the best team. Like, that's just what it comes down to. And if that's the case, Mitchell. So even if there's just buzz about them, and if they go in as a number one seed, I think they're winning at least two rounds. I mean, there's a weird scenario where come playoff time, the lead up to the Western Conference Finals, he's maybe your MVP. They've won a couple series. There's a scenario where that $500 Prism card is $1,500 or $2,000. Because again, we saw that happen last year with Luka. He hits a game winner against the Clippers, and all of a sudden his stuff went absolutely through the roof. Okay, so we both like the Jazz. Next team, the Washington.
Wait, hold on. What are his stats right now? He's at 24 a game.
24, yep.
So he needs a couple. One thing that will really help, and you even saw this with Luka the other night when Luka hit the two huge threes to beat the Celtics and his card spiked. There's like this weird national TV reaction with cards now. And if Mitchell puts up like 47 in some Friday night ESPN game or Thursday night TNT game, that will get the ball rolling.
Yeah, because what was weird is they crushed the Lakers last night. He only had like, I mean, Gobert was the leading scorer. I don't think anybody on the team scored 20.
It was
a terrible game. Yeah. Now, if he scores 40, though, and he has that, because he had that one dunk where he went absolutely crazy. If he scores 45 and he has that dunk in the game, yeah, then all of a sudden right there, because that's the one game when people overreact. Oh, they beat the Lake. I actually like what Morris said after the game. Marquise Morris, he's like, this is a regular season. He's like, let's see him in a series. And I agree. I think the Lakers, but...
Well, the other issue is when you're blowing teams out, you don't play the minutes to get the extra stats. He's only playing 33 and a half minutes a game. This happened to Curry in 2015, and it didn't matter. He won the MVP anyway, but they were 67 and 15. He's killing everybody. He's playing like 32 minutes a game. So his stats weren't as seemingly impactful as you would have thought, but he won anyway. So anyway, I'm with you on Mitchell.
Yeah, because if you gave Mitchell another 4 or 5 minutes a game, that 24 points is probably 27, 28.
Becomes 27, and then people take it more seriously.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
The Wizards have been weird lately. They've won five. They actually lost last night, but they've won five in a row before that. They beat some good teams. Bradley Beal is a beast. That dude's still averaging like 32 points. Westbrook is for some reason acting like not a psychopath, which is cool because he's super talented. I just can't stand him. There's a weird stat. So their overall record is 11-18. They're three games behind Toronto for the fourth and fifth seed.
Right. And they're probably a playing team. Westbrook was the 08 set, which is what was the best 07, one?
08, yep.
Yeah. No, the 08, 09 set. 08, 09,
yeah. He came up with what? Kevin Love?
Yep. Kevin Love. There's a couple other good ones in there, but it was one of the last top sets.
And exquisite. Upper Deck exquisite. They still had some Upper Deck cards in pro uniforms.
Yeah, I've never been able to figure out that whole late 2000s era. I've never been able to figure out what the best cards were. That was kind of before Panini took over.
Anything exquisite. Upper Deck has such a crazy premium. When it was pro uniform stuff, like even just the chronology set, when you had like, I think Bird has some old exquisite patch autos. I'm pretty sure Russell has one. I've got a couple of the Garnets from that set and from the chronology. That Upper Deck stuff is awesome. I mean, I love that Upper Deck stuff. I like Panini, but I do wish we had Tops or Upper Deck basketball back.
Oh, I've got a story that will re-engage Jesse in the podcast. Because again, he's been drifting last 10 minutes.
Oh, he's been asleep since
I'm
we started.
Not even in here. I'm not even
so Jesse.
Involved.
You're doing great.
I was on they asked me to be in the Tops board in like,
I've got a question for you about it later in the show.
2008 range. And I was there for 3 years, and I think I left in 2011 because we were starting Grayland. I was too busy. You had to go back to New York four times a year, all this stuff. But when I was there, one of the big questions was, should we keep the NBA? And Panini was coming in really aggressively to try to buy exclusivity for these different things. And one of them was the NBA. And we had this board meeting. I know this sounds like the story where it's like, I told them, but this, I was like, you know, obviously a gigantic basketball fan. I was going to the collector conventions at that point. I was really convinced basketball cards were going to, you know, go up because of the personalities, and you can see it with social media and the decision had just happened. And I was like, I just think basketball is going to go up a level this decade. I think it would be a mistake to let Panini have that. But Panini was paying so much. It was like, no, we did the math. There's no way they're not going to lose money on this. And it turns out Panini was really smart. They overpaid for it, but they didn't. And you could argue that the NBA, I think, is the number one reason that's driven, you know, NFL obviously as well. But I think the NBA, the exclusivity thing, has driven their product the last 10 years more than anything else.
Oh, that not even close. And drives the market more than anything. Oh, Jesse has a thought. Jesse, please.
No. I was just going to say, that was actually one of the questions for Mailbag. And so what do you think about doing exclusive licensing for, say, Panini for NBA and NFL, maybe Tops for MLB? Do you think that would be something we see in the future?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think
you mean get out of that market. So right now, Panini is exclusive with the NFL and the NBA. Topps is exclusive for licensing with baseball.
Yes. Yeah, right? Exactly.
I would love it to get rid of it. I would love to see Panini have rights in baseball because I think it'd be awesome. Like Flawless, National Treasures, all those high-end brands, Prism in baseball with a logo would change the whole world. Well.
I would love it if they merged. We would have honestly be the best. Instead of having two competitors, we just had all the cards under one roof. One of the things that was stunning about the Topps thing, because I was always like, I was going to those collector conventions and I was like, we got to get our old inventory. You know, go back into the archives. You can read, like, that stuff's worth a lot of money now.
Absolutely.
And as it turned out, in the late 80s, Topps was like in a lot of trouble. And they basically had like this auction where they got rid of a whole bunch of stuff that was in their warehouse, like test sets, uncut sheets, all these extra boxes, all this. They basically sold all of it for like 10, 20 cents in the dollar. And a couple of people cleaned up and you had like five or six people who are just like, oh, I'm buying all this. It's going to be worth something. And Topps didn't keep it. It's like the classic, oh man, wish we could do that over again story.
What kind of collections did you get from Topps when you were there? Did you get anything from the vaults?
Yeah, they would mail all the board members whatever the new box was.
Oh, okay.
So I would get and kind of to test it out. And it was great. I think my son was like 3 or 4 at that standpoint. So it was fun to open the cards. But never really thought they were going to be worth that much, you know?
Hindsight.
Yeah. I did save some of the good ones, but yeah, it was an interesting business. What was really fascinating was gum was like the biggest, like Bazooka was like the biggest driver for the whole Topps business. Just gum and candy. They just printed money on.
They still do that, right? Aren't they still big into like the toys and gum and all that candy?
Yeah.
That's weird. Speaking of Nationals, if that happens in July, are we going to see you there?
You coming?
It seems close.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know if travel. I mean, like right now, we're not doing anything. We're not leaving the house. I'd be shocked.
Hygiene and air safety was always a problem at the collector's convention. It was probably the grossest bathroom scene other than like a college dorm you'd probably ever seen in your life. So I can't even imagine the COVID era precautions of the hygiene in that place. But yeah, I'm sure it'll happen. And it's a wait and see for me. When are we doing Straight Cast Homie?
All right, let's get to it. That's the second time he's asked. We're not even talking.
Sing it for us, Jesse.
Jesse, take it away. It's your moment to shine.
Right, before I do it, I was asked, Bill, will you do it with me?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Really?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Count it down to 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Straight Cash Homie. We just Corey fixed that in post. Mike just quit the show.
I was going to get fired soon anyway, so I just walk. It's fine. That was so bad. And I have no one but myself to blame. You come up with a stupid name. It's my fault.
That's your fault.
That's going on shirts, by the way.
Jesse
That's
came Brady up with Moss. It. Mike made fun of it in the first show.
That's what happened.
And I was listening to it going, this is great. This is a great idea. They have to do this every week.
You know what this is? This is the launching pad for the Richard Simmons, Jesse Gibson show. That's what I'm watching right here. This is exactly what's happening.
The whole game.
All I hear is, oh, he's such a great co-host. Hey, Jesse, I have a question. That's fine.
Hey, is Jesse still alive on the podcast? Let's talk to him more.
All right. Do you have something for us here, Bill? You have your pick?
Straight Cash Homie?
Straight Cash Homie. You have one for us?
You didn't prep him.
Yeah,
he
you
knew
go
he was
first.
Coming on the show.
I'll have one. I'll have one.
Oh, brother. Go talk back. About a hack interview. I'm telling you. This is brutal.
All right, I got one.
Oh God. You it's sure? going to be so much better than yours, here. Too.
Oh, you go the, first. You
the
go
Bill
first.
Simmons
I'll go
pump
second.
And dump after my picks.
I'm not pump and dumping.
I went super low end, super high end. I went all Boston, by the way, because I was like, I don't know. If I talk about other teams, I get docked pay. I don't know how that works. Rafael Devers, 2018 Topps. So he comes out of 2018 Topps Series 1, just his paper rookie, him swinging a bat, little gold cup emblem. I'm sure Corey will edit and have the picture in if you'd actually see it. PSA 10s are doing $40 to $45 right now. Just to put in perspective, Tatis is $250. Acuna is over $200, or Acuna, which I hate saying. Soto is like $3.25. Devers last year was in the 60-game season, but in 2019, last full year, played 156 games. His stats, 32 homers, 115 RBIs, batted .311 with 201 hits. If that team was anywhere near relevant, he would have been in the MVP discussion. I think Devers comes back to form. And honestly, you're telling me Devers, if he has a great year, couldn't be a third, couldn't come up to about half of Acuna's money? Even at that, you're tripling your money. I love that play for $40 to $45.
Great.
That's my low end.
Okay. I'll go medium then.
You go medium, I'll go big.
I really like the NBA Hoops boxes from 1989 and 1990, and here's why.
I just ripped one of these.
You can get them for less than $200 still.
Yep.
Or maybe somewhere between, like, depending on where it is, like $180 to $250, depending on what day you're looking. The 89 set has Robinson's rookie. First of all, the cards were, this was NBA Hoops. They were the first ones that actually had, like, they cared about the packs and made it. Oh, there you go.
Just ripped it the other day, literally yesterday.
Yeah.
It's live on our Facebook, guys.
We're dancing on here. I'm telling you. This is great.
So you have the Robinson rookie. You have Jordan. You have Bird and Magic. And that's in the 89. You go to the 90, one of the great cards, and I think I might do a box break this weekend with my son, just for you guys on my Instagram, of the 90 hoops, because they have one of my favorite cards ever. Mark Jackson's rookie card, which has the Menendez brothers in the background. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like a $400 card. It's a Mark Jackson and a Menendez brothers rookie card. That's in the 90 set with Jordan and a couple other ones.
eBay banned that card for a while. When it was all the hype about the murderers, they said it was against their policy. So they actually took that thing down.
Really? Yep.
Yeah. So you can get the 90 box you can get for what is that? Like 140, 150, maybe less, 90?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think those are fun ones to open. If you get a couple Jordans and they're in good shape, you've paid for the box, and why not?
Yep. So I ripped this with the intention of, I did not hit a single D-Rob. It was kind of weird because it was wrapped by BCE, so I know it was a good box. I got two Jordans. I got a Pippen. The Karl Malone actually does like 60 or 70 if it gems. For some reason, that must be Rodman's second year because Rodman sells pretty well as a gem, like almost $100. Got a couple of chemo. I got 11 cards I'm going to grade out of that box, but not a single D-Rob. I was upset.
How many more boxes do you have?
Of that, I only bought one. I've got cases of new stuff in the closet, but of that, I just randomly picked one.
And I think
the cheap.
Series two of one of those boxes has Drazen Petrovic's rookie, and he's a Hall of Famer, and that's actually a weirdly hard card to get.
That's 1990, right?
1990, I think, the series two. Yeah. So I like that. I just like the price. Fun to open. Although maybe we unintentionally jacked the price with talking about it. I don't know.
I said no pumping. That was a rule. All right. So we got low end, medium, straight high end stuff. The vintage market right now is weird. I'll have some pictures as soon as UPS shows up. I bought three Bird rookies over the past 3 or 4 days. So Bird stuff has actually come down recently. PSA 7s were up to 655 to 6,000 for a while. I got a PSA 7 for 3,900, which I think that goes nothing but go back up. I got a 7.5 for 3,500, which I think was probably the steal of the three, and a BVG, so a Beckett graded 8 for 6,200. Those were doing 75 to 8. I think Bird, so there's already talk about the documentary, which I guess that's happening. The Bird Magic, aren't we getting like documentary number 8,000 this summer? They keep teasing that on these forums.
No, well, they already, Bird's, not with Bird. I think Magic's selling another documentary, but he's been in three.
Oh, they've both been 1,000. But even still, I could honestly say, I know they did the 30 for 30 was the last big one of note, but that has to have been at least 4 or 5 years ago now, right?
I think the Bird, Matt, the Last Dance, the fumes of the Last Dance and how it's affected all the other guys they played with it's affected Bird and Magic cards the most, especially in that 81 set where
the
PSA 9s are like 4,000, 5,000 for
how many
Bird
did you
Magic.
Pull out of that box with your kid?
Pulled 8 birds.
Good grief.
I mean, two of them are like perfect too. I couldn't believe it. But the 86 Flair set, which was always like, you know, MJ was the big card, but then it had all these other Hall of Famers, but you could get the Hall of Famers. And now all of those have skyrocketed too. And if you're looking at like the PSA 10s from that set,
I'm
almost
money.
Suspicious. There seems like there's too many of them out there. I wonder like, are there more Fleer 86 cards out there than we realized? And are more of them going to be graded? And is there going to be a glut of them in like 3 years?
I think though, like even if there is, you see the increase in people coming into the market because that's the demand is more cards. So I do think it could affect value, but with the number of people getting in, it might not hurt it that badly.
Mike, this is why I love the 76 set. The set, the 69, 70, and 76, the tall boys, because
there's no inventory.
There's no inventory, A. B, really hard to take care of. Like I had those 76 cards, but it's not like you could put them in an album or a sleeve or anything. So anyone who had them, they're putting rubber bands around them or doing whatever. And even now, like you can't even buy the oversized card protectors on Amazon, can you?
No, there's anything to protect those things is hard to find. So 30, 40 years ago, that's why Kareem to me, I have 4 Kareems now. I've been buying them like a maniac. His PSA 6 rookie is like 4, maybe it's 5 grand. I forget the, but it's just unbelievably underpriced. It's just insane. Same with Joe Namath.
Because people didn't like Kareem. Honestly.
Yeah, they don't like him and it's a big card. Yeah, so it's like a double whammy. And he's a Laker, so strike three. He's out. I got one other, actually, out of the 86. Jordan stuff has fallen. The trend has actually been strangely close. Jordan rookie and the Larry Bird Magic rookie. When they both went crazy and spiked, Bird was a little bit behind, but he definitely spiked. He's been a little bit behind on the drop here, too. So, like, Jordan right now, a PSA 8 out of the 86 Flair set, is averaging, like, just under 16,000. That had spiked as high as 22. His PSA 9, so what was it, Jesse? 3 weeks ago, we sold. I sold mine. I sold mine for $70,000. And there was another one here locally that sold for $72,000. Now they're doing $48,000 to $53,000. So those are down again. I just don't see that. It's not like that's going to come crashing down. I think eventually that's what happened is people saw the PSA 10s sell so high. That's why I sold mine. But I think just so many went to market at once. It was like, how many buyers are out there for a $70,000 card? So
Jesse, if you have a bunch of money. The other thing that's happening is you just have these auctions where it's two people are bidding for a Jordan card and right. they don't care what the market is.
Yep.
So that one went for $750,000 in the golden auction, I think.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just, it's basically the equivalent of like in LA when we have these auctions for schools and two drunk dads start, you know, start fighting over some trip to St. Bart's for it. And it's like, you guys are paying twice as much as this trip is worth. What are you doing? I think that's what happens in some of these auctions. It's Saturday. They always schedule it. So it's Saturday night. People have probably had a couple drinks and they don't really care what the price is. They're just like, I wanted this card. I'm getting it. All right. Oh, now I got to throw in another 100. Great. And, and it's completely thrown the market out of whack. I have no idea what these cards are worth anymore.
I don't know about you guys, but don't you think that this is maybe a good sign? Because I'm concerned the higher the value went, if they kept going up, that would make me think it is a bubble because it would just pop eventually. But if it goes down some and then over time comes back up, the fact that it didn't just skyrocket down like it went up is actually, I think, good. I think that the market means it's a little bit more stable if we're seeing it, you know, a little fluctuation.
Even right now, so like the Prism stuff going down, Zion, Luka, Ja, all those guys are down right now. And that to me is a perfect indicator. We're not in a bubble. It's just simply the lull. 70 games, a long season. None of those guys have played to their peak. I mean, Ja especially. Even Zion, he's playing well now, but they're under 500. Luka's not doing triple-doubles every other night like he did at one point last year. So it's like, yeah, the market's kind of following their on-court to a degree. Because I feel like if the playoffs started next week, we'd see an immediate spike, which I think is indicative, like you just said, Jesse. Great point, Jesse.
Well,
oh,
not in a bubble.
And following on that point, I think this is going to be the year 2021 when individual games swing card prices. The Tyler Herro thing last year was the taste of it, where he has that one awesome game against the Celtics, which I'll never forgive him for because we would have made the finals if that didn't happen.
That step back against Marcus Smart.
Yeah,
it was like, just, you gotta be kidding me. Like,
but it was the best game of his career. He's never matched it before or since. And his card all of a sudden was worth three times of Bob Pettit's PSA 8 1961 Flair. It's like, what's happening? This card can't be worth three times as much as like a top 25 Hall of Famer's second best card. So I think it's going to be even crazier and wild. And this is like the era we're in. And then you've talked about a lot of the factors, but the rise of gambling and how people think about stuff, how speculative everything is, people just go nuts and they're like, oh, I got to get in. You saw it with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's card was worth as much as Tatum's card in the span of 2 weeks.
Yep.
And before the season, it was like $175.
You said too earlier about the Luka card after the Celtics game. I mean, it spiked right after those three pointers. So yeah, absolutely.
Luka's a savage. All right, real quick. Then we get the mailbag segment to end this. Bill Simmons, original on our show, finals prediction. I think you've already done this, but who do you have going to the finals this year? This is our premature finals pick.
So I always, when I get this question, I always think like, if my life depended on it, what would my pick be? I would pick Lakers in Brooklyn.
This is the most anticlimactic pick of all time. Jesse, what does my sheet say? Lakers. Oh, you don't know Brooklyn's the Nets. The Nets are from Brooklyn. So I've got Lakers Nets, which I think is hobby impact-wise, the most unbelievable long-term, like, grail level. If LeBron wins another championship, at some point, I know most people won't, but he's on the Jordan level. Like, he's just there.
I would argue Brooklyn winning would have the biggest impact on basketball cards ever because the Kyrie piece of it, adding Kyrie to all the other dudes in that set, who's it, Davis, Kawhi, Dame Lillard.
Yep, those four, because that was a year when you had the shortened season
double
before,
set.
So they merged up. Yeah.
And then the Harden card, because Harden would then, if he won a title now, he's like one of the best 20 players ever. And then the Durant piece of it would also be crazy.
Durant is the one who just goes absolutely nuts because Durant was forgotten. Amidst this whole spike and everything, Durant stuff has been so left behind because he was injured. And, just
and Jesse's
not relevant.
Guy, Joe Harris.
He's got the jersey on.
Big Joe Harris. Did you see it? Yeah, I can't. It's the camera's too small.
Camera angle. He's a big Joe guy. Sure.
Yeah, you're right. That would be the biggest card finals ever.
for Grail level
because you would
stuff.
Have five superstars in the finals, which doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't do a lot for like the rookie up and coming. Like there's nobody in that set who's like comes out of nowhere to win MVP or have a great season. Some
there
guys
could be, there could be a Schroeder. Could be a Schroeder bump if he had like a Tyler Hero game. No?
I guess. I mean, maybe. You could. Hey, you know more basketball than me. I just feel like that's the one that just solidifies everybody.
Well, the funniest one ever was the Talen Horton-Tucker week when his card was all of a sudden going for $700. That was like when you knew the hobby was out of control.
Pre-season game, people went nuts. What a ridiculous thing. Ugh.
Sad.
Anyway, I find it a little offensive you didn't ask for my opinion on this.
Jesse, so, who do you have going to the finals? Who's getting to
yeah, it? It's You're the Nets closer. And Clippers. Okay.
Nets so. And Clippers?
Clippers.
Okay. Better.
They got it. I'm telling you.
What city do they play in?
Los Angeles.
Dude.
Yeah. I didn't look away and look at another sheet to know that.
Prepped for Bill Russell today. I can tell. Good for you.
Yeah. He's Bill Russell. Richard Simmons brings the best out of him.
Richard Simmons, Bill. Yeah. That's when his spandex game is on. That's when Jesse's at his
I am sweating to the oldies, baby.
All right. Do we have time for a couple mailbag questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right,
mail
Jesse?
Bag.
Here we
Can
go.
Can we do that? Is that the new thing? All
oh
right.
Oh, my God.
All right. First question.
I think mailbag, it should be more like a mailbag.
Oh, I like that.
Thanks.
I can't redo it.
That sounds like the old PTI, though. Mail time.
That's
more
what
mail.
I mean. You got that's an, it's an ESPN? Homage. No, it's an homage. We love those guys.
Mailbag. Yeah.
Jesse's
I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work
that's
on
just
it.
Just as right, bad as the other. Go.
All right. These are specifically for Bill. First off, a little shout out to Indy the intern, big fan. His question for you, Bill, who's your favorite NBA player that is currently averaging less than 20 points per game?
Oh,
Indy stumped him.
Max went next level.
Well, so favorite Celtic would be Marcus Smart. Probably Draymond Green, who I think it's really crazy how much of an impact he has on these Warriors games when he's kind of lost the ability to shoot. I'm just amazed by that team, the fact that they're going to be like a five seed, and it's basically just Curry, Draymond, and a bunch of role players. But I think the one, he qualifies. I love LaMelo Ball, and I haven't
really
been as wrong about anybody in a long time. I was out. I didn't believe it. I just thought I didn't see. I watched the Australia stuff. I just didn't see it. He just seemed like he was going to be this gimmick guy. And Charlotte's my favorite team to watch on League Pass. I think LaMelo's fantastic. And when those prisms come out of his, I think this draft class is going to have some really good buys, including Quickly on the Knicks, because he's not getting the playing time that he's going to get like 2-3 years from now. And LaMelo, I like Wiseman. I still feel like he's undervalued. Anthony Edwards is fun. I really like Patrick Williams on Chicago and Halliburton, who I've loved the whole time. But I think this is actually, we thought this could be a disaster of a class. I actually like the class, but LaMelo's great. I really think he's good.
I'll say this about LaMelo. The impact he has on social is nuts. The very few posts we've had that have included him, I mean, Jesse can attest to this. More reaction, more comments, more views, more likes, whatever.
Yeah,
just social. When you put his name in the title.
The 13 and under kids at Zion and LaMelo. Like, my son loves LaMelo.
He's 13.
He's like the TikTok generation superstar, right? Just these quick little whatevers. And by the way, they played the Suns last night. We're taping this on a Thursday, and he took over the game at the end. He was
Did
like,
that go to overtime?
No. They were clearing out. They were getting switches, and he was just like killing DeAndre Ayton off the dribble, going to the basket. It was really impressive. It was high level. So
I love watching. They're actually like one of the few running. I feel like they're like the old Suns of like the 90s, like that, just that running offense, which
They have one of my favorite card bargains, a guy I still have stock in and will never give up on, Malik Monk, who I still believe in.
What, he had 30 last night? He went nuts.
He's become like a really good heat check guy, but I still feel like he can be an all-star at some point in his career. This is like one of my dumbest corners, but
Malik Monk.
His rookie card is, I'd be in.
Those are your two.
Those are my two super sleepers. Like, shake them, they might actually be dead.
Sheesh.
All right, next question. All right, I was going to save this one for the end, but I'm just going to throw it out there. From TitanUp86, Bill, love seeing you getting into the hobby with your son. Is it true that Mike is actually one of your sons because they are essentially the same size?
Now, Bill's too tall to be my father.
Bill, do you have a viewpoint on that?
Do you have a viewpoint?
No, I would legally adopt Mike.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. You guys can eat your it's lobster, been great to know biscuit, him. Finial Hall and watch
Finial Hall?
Giannis?
Are we going to be Giannis there?
What's wrong with guys?
Finial Hall.
Leave a comment below for
God,
the bullying.
We gotta take Jesse to Massachusetts bullies. And just walk around.
I've been there once. Larry Webb, my old buddy.
I will say you know this. I don't know.
What?
Do you don't know Larry? He lives in Boston.
All right.
Okay.
What is happening? Oh. We have the man on once a year. After we get canned after 30 days, we had one experience here with Bill Russell, Richard Simmons.
This is great.
And this is how you're spending our time.
I listen to every one of these shows.
Okay.
Jesse's killing it.
Did you get any questions about me getting into the hobby? Because for the people out there, I was the only freaking child in the 70s and 80s. I was buying cards from the moment I could walk, and I've had a lot of different runs with this hobby. And I've been in the collector's convention 7 times and have been buying stuff really since I ever had money. So I got back into it just because of the basketball. The infrastructure of it seemed to be shifting in a really interesting way. And it's a pandemic on board.
I will say that some people do actually know that you are already a fan for a long time.
A lot of people.
Was actually an interesting question. I'd like to get your take. So what were your favorite cards growing up that maybe you got graded today or you'd like to get graded today if they're not already?
I have a few of them actually, because I actually took care of my cards with one notable exception, which I've told Mike about. I did collect the 80-81 Topps NBA, but tore the cards.
Oh.
They were three. Nobody told me. I was 11. Yeah. It's not like we had the internet back then. It was like, cool, these cards. So what do? You just tear them up. So I actually have, I kept them. I put them, I did everything wrong. Not only did I tear them up, I have them in rubber bands. And it just couldn't have been worse. But I do have the Bird and the Magic and the Dr. J, but like so many kids, that's why that card's worth a lot of money. My favorite set ever was the 76 baseball that had the Fred Lynn Rookie of the Year card with the little trophy
quad
in
card?
It. Yeah, because that also had the Oscar Gamble Afro card, which is my favorite card of all time. Just that was the first 76. Set that I really went all in on. And I have a couple uncut. You can actually see one of the uncut sheets. You can see it over there next to Bobby Orr. That was one of my favorites. I love the 81 basketball, which had the first full Magic and Bird, the one I did the box break of the other day. Cause after that said, the basketball cards went away. Like I had no idea they were even making like the star cards and stuff like that in 83. I didn't even know about the Fleer cards in 86. I just never saw them in the store. I would have bought them.
What was next, Bill, after the 81 set? What was the next actual, but not accounting star?
It was 86 Fleer.
Okay.
We had a 5-year layoff. So
it was 5-year.
Jeez. And then the football cards were really fun. I think if you go back and you look at the cards that they made from, I would say 76, 77, 78 in all the sports, they're really nice looking cards. They really did a good
76,
job.
76 football with Peyton. That's another one. I think Paul, first of all, that specific card is so crazy undervalued, but that design, like the headshot, you get the logo on the front. I think 76 football is one of the nicest sets.
So I have all ungraded, all not in my house, but just everybody because I took
care
of them.
They can see your wall behind you, Bill. Well, they know you've got a lot of
my
cards.
Office, but like Steve Largent, Peyton, people like that. Like I was smart enough as a kid to be like, oh, I'll take care of this card. But we didn't have albums and sleeves and stuff like that. You're basically putting them in a shoebox and putting a rubber band around the shoebox so the card didn't move. But I did have a tragedy though. I don't know if I've ever told this story. We lived in Brookline in the late 70s and I kept my cards in a Toyn Hobby safe. That was like a $20. I kept my best cards. So, and the first cards I collected were like hockey cards in 74. So I had this Bobby Orr card that I thought was worth like $1 million. Probably wasn't, but I had like my best, like, I don't know, 25 cards in that safe and somebody broke in. They took a whole bunch of stuff from our house, including my safe.
Oh.
And then we were driving around just kind of like a day later, and the Toy and Hobby safe was on the side of the road with nothing in it.
Oh.
Somebody had just thrown it out of the car. Traumatizing, Mike.
I knew there was some, I knew there had to be something because we've dropped this reference too many times. Don't break into my house. This is still a fresh wound here. This is why you're bringing this up now. I understand.
I was like 10 years old.
That's brutal. Yeah. Well, I grew up in Lawrence and Haverhill, so this wasn't really that big of a, that wouldn't have been that uncommon of an event, quite frankly. The Republic of Brookline, a little bit different area.
But oh the thing, God. Jesse, the thing with me in basketball is there were just less basketball cards. There was way more baseball, football, hockey, and there was less basketball, which I think like the 77 set, which was the set after the Tall Boys, those are impossible to find. Like you, like the Robert Parrish PSA 9 rookies, stuff like that. Like it's really hard to find PSA 9s from that set because I don't think they made a lot of the cards. And in general, nobody found them. And if you found them, you just played with them. You didn't like take care of them. So
I can honestly say I have never held a 77 card in my hand ever. I don't think I've ever even said, yeah, I don't think I've ever actually gone through a collection where they've been in there.
And it's a good one because it's got like Bernard King's rookie, Parrish's rookie. It's got like great cards of all the stars from that era because they had merged the leagues at that point. And the boxes until recently were pretty cheap. Now they jumped.
Yeah, that's I will say that's the one thing that stinks with a spike. Boxes used to be crazy cheap to get. 70s and 80s boxes of especially basketball, football. Now you can't even touch them. But
all right, last question and we can move on. So this is one that we got a lot, but I'm going to go ahead and preface. You don't have to answer. What are your top cards value-wise? Or just name the ones you feel comfortable naming, I guess.
Not in the house.
Not in the house.
Well, they're not in my house anymore. well, the smartest thing I did in the 80s was I bought some Baseball Hall of Famers from the 60s, mint. But we didn't have PSA back then. But I was really like meticulous about what to get. So I have like Steve Carlton rookie, Nolan Ryan rookie, Tom Seaver rookie, Rod Carew, Yaz. I got everyone except Pete Rose because he was even expensive in the 80s because he had just broken the hit record. But I just had the sense of like, these will be worth something. And you can see like on one of the things, it's like, it says like $60 next to it on the Tom Seaver one or whatever. So those are probably my most fun one just because I actually put real thought into it. But like everybody else, I got crushed in the late 80s, early 90s with the junk box era, you know? Like all of us. Like I remember that Dikembe Mutombo Upper Deck NBA set just buying like 5 boxes. Oh, they're just worth nothing. You might as well use them as like coasters. But I was at least smart enough to get some of the 60s stuff, but not the basketball because they were really hard to find. And then, you know, Uncut Sheets I was always buying even as a kid.
Nice.
Mike's right. out on Uncut Sheets. He doesn't believe in them.
I don't believe. Yeah, I know. Bigger than I am. Things that are taller than me, I have no use for. So.
Look how nice. Look at this one.
Nice it is a great is. Art piece, if nothing
Isn't
else.
Isn't that great? It's like a museum piece.
I also could not get away with that. If I put that anywhere in my house, my wife would just never be it.
Well, that's why I'm in my little office.
Yeah, I don't have an office yet. That's year two. When the second contract kicks in, if we can struggle through this first one. We're going straight office space. We're excited. That's it. That's our show.
That's it?
That's it. We got nothing else.
That was really fun. I had a good time.
Appreciate you coming on. Again, check out Bill Simmons. I'm not even going to.
Oh, my God.
Gonna, like, promote him. I was like, I think they know who he is.
Wait. Yeah, hold on. Bill Simmons.
I have last questions for Jesse.
Oh, God, Bill.
Jesse, will you come on my show? That's what it's here.
What's the nicest thing you've read online about your performance on this show?
He's gotten hit on a few times.
I'm going to go ahead and not
a dating thing.
I'm going to preface that apparently I was putting out a little bit of a call for help vibe because I was getting a number of people saying, like messaging me directly, which I got to tell you, the guys that did it, thank you. That was very kind. No, I mean, there's nothing more nice than the things that Mike says to me as soon as we get off the show. He's always very apologetic. But everybody seems to love the take. Well, not everybody. A lot of everybody.
Everybody not on YouTube.
Everybody seems to love how our banter goes back and forth. They respect the fact that I may not know about cards, but a lot of guys who are getting into the hobby don't know a ton about cards either. They like the fact that I ask the questions that they're also wondering. So when everybody says something like that, it makes me feel pretty good. Feel pretty good.
Well, the reason I love this podcast is because you guys actually have chemistry and I can learn stuff as I'm listening to it. I just felt like with Cards Podcast, they're pretty nerdy for the most part, you know, and like basically geared toward a specific type of person, and just seemed like there was a chance to maybe reach more people than that. So I'm very pleased with this podcast. I'm honored to be on. Thank you for having me.
I'm telling you. That's a nice thing anybody's ever said about this podcast.
Can you see the goosebumps?
Yeah.
There you go.
Bill,
they're
we appreciate there. The time. We will
listen,
invite
for
you.
Me, on behalf of me and the rest of the Richard Simmons family, it's been an honor.
Bill Russell's out after that one. All right, guys, make sure you check out the episode. This one, subscribe, like, whatever you're supposed to do with all that nonsense. Jesse tells you. Sports Cards Nonsense, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, which we are honored to be a part of. So check us out on YouTube, on Ringer, anywhere else you get your podcasts. There you go. Spotify. Bam. The most official read of all time. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.